The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey everybody, welcome into another edition of the Cubs Talk Podcast. I'm Tony Andracki here with David Kaplan, Scott Chagnon, Nate Poppin, Eric Strobel. How's everybody doing today?
Doing well.
Everybody's good. Warm. Ready Happy to get New some Year. Moves made. Yeah. Happy New Year to everybody.
2018.
My question is, when do you stop saying Happy New Year? Like, if you don't see somebody till February, you go, oh, first time I saw you, Happy New Year. Because, like, I'm done with it.
Yeah.
That's true. Actually, I got a coffee today, and the coffee girl asked me how my New Year's was, and I was like, that was 4 days ago. I have no idea what you're talking about anymore. Right. So I'm with it. I think January 2nd.
I'm like Bill
2nd,
Belichick. I'm on
you're
to January.
On. You're on to 2018. Okay.
All right. So speaking of moves, there's pretty much nothing going on as of this recording. Baseball world has been pretty quiet since pretty much before Christmas time now. Jake Arrieta is still a free agent. The Cardinals are in on him. The Cubs are still kicking the tires. Let's kind of go round table here, and what do you guys make of Jake Arrieta right now, the price, the reported price of Cubs offering 4 years for $110 million, and if that's something he would take? Cap, we'll start with you.
I don't think he wants to take it. I mean, we all would love to get $110 million, but when you go into the offseason thinking 6 years, $180 is like your baseline, four for $110 is a come down for him in his mind. But again, if the market's not there, then you got to take what you can get.
Scotty, what are you thinking?
I don't know. Like you said, you got to take what you can get, but I think if he does come back to the Cubs, he knows what he's getting into. He knows what the guys that he's working with in the clubhouse, and that's always a positive to look on that side of things. But, you know, I think he's going to want to go for that bigger contract.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll probably get more than $110 million at this point too, but the market hasn't been there for Alex Cobb or Yu Darvish as much as they would like as well. Eric, Nate, what are you guys thinking on how things are in the Arrieta market right now from a Cubs perspective?
From a Cubs perspective, this is the best thing that could have possibly happened to them. The fact that all three, the market has not really developed for Darvish, for Arrieta, for Cobb. Yeah, there have been reports of these offers out there, but they're not nearly as high as what we expected. As Cap just said, you know, six for 180. That's not, that hasn't, I doubt has even been discussed for Jake Arrieta, at least not realistically. So the fact that they now are in on these guys, legitimately, they had the, you know, the much publicized meeting with Darvish. They've obviously had a dialogue with Cobb, and Arrieta's their guy. I think this is the best possible scenario for them, because now they're actually, whereas maybe before they were thinking, we're not really going to be in on these guys. We can't really fit this into our budget. It's now become a more realistic possibility.
I think it might be a sign of more front offices thinking like Theo and Jed in the terms of don't pay for past performance, pay for future performance. And maybe teams are getting a little apprehensive with doling out, you know, a 6 year, 7 year deal for these types of pitchers that are, you know, past 30, approaching maybe the, you know, they're still in their prime, but the downslope of their prime. And then you have to combine that with the fact that there's teams that are they're expressly waiting till next year for Bryce Harper. So
yeah, I think 2018, that winter, 2019, these big winters that are coming up, everybody's really looking ahead toward those immediately. But it's also about this salary cap, and it's not an actual salary cap, but the luxury tax that's in play right now.
Right.
I think that's coming into a major factor than what it was before. It's not the same salary cap as the NFL or the NBA or the NHL, but teams don't want to pay that 20% or 30% and then eventually 50% luxury tax the way that they might have been okay to do before.
Plus, you also lose draft picks if you continually reside over luxury tax. So you got to be really careful, and the Cubs know who's coming. Bryant, and extension for Rizzo, Contreras, Baez, Russell, Schwarber, Hendricks.
Quintana, possibly, too.
I mean, there's, you got to look. Theo has a board in his office, he and Jed, and it has 7, 8, 9, 10 years out. Where's our payroll going to be? Got to be very conscious.
And everybody's doing that now. The Yankees, they were supposed to have a lot of money, but they don't want to keep paying the luxury tax. They've paid somewhere in the neighborhood of a reported like $300+ million over the last 15 years. Crazy. Just in like luxury tax penalties. That's the whole length of Stanton's contract.
Plus, like then two seasons of payroll, right?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Plus, they got Stanton's contract as well, so they're not really in on the Arrietas and Darvishes.
I don't think they're going to be in on Harper, honestly.
No.
Yeah. I mean, they might. They probably won't be at this point.
The fact
yeah.
that they got Harper effectively, I think, sealed their fate in the Harper sweep. They probably won't be involved in it.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, where would they play too? None of those guys are right. really center fielders, Judge, Stanton, or Harper. But yeah, I mean, the Dodgers are paying guys like Adrian Gonzalez still, even though they have the salary dumps. Now they're paying Matt Kemp as well. So they're trying to work under the luxury tax threshold. I'm still waiting for the Angels to get involved, actually, especially on the Arrieta front. I think LA still makes a ton of sense for Arrieta personally with what he wants to do, you know, with restaurants and entrepreneur business and all that. Plus, the Angels, now they just got Ohtani. They're mm-hmm. still one or two pitchers away from being a legitimate contender. So Arrieta is a guy that could do that. But I never really understood the Cardinals' interest in Jake. How would that really fit with where they're at and the possibility that they're trying to go get Josh Donaldson right now? I mean, would it be worth going an extra year from a Cubs perspective, going to 5 years, 150-ish million, just to avoid Jake
not for
in
me.
Cardinals
no.
uniform?
No. I'm not comfortable no. at 4 years for Jake. Like, if you said you're not getting Darvish, you're not getting Lance Lynn, okay, it is what it is. It's only money. But I think Jake's trending down, and you tell me I can get him four, I guess it's money, but I'd be much more comfortable, like, 3 years. So, and the Cardinals, who's their rotation?
Yeah.
Adam Wainwright's still in it right now at age, what, 37 yeah. now, I think? So.
Right. You got him, Carlos Martinez, yeah. the kid they just brought back over Miles Mikolas, yeah. I believe is his name.
I think he's their number five right now.
Who else is going to pitch for them? They may get the kid back who had Tommy Reyes. John, Alex yeah. Reyes.
But how is he going to be coming off that?
You don't know. And
Luke
they've
Weaver
got
should be in the rotation.
Luke Weaver, and you got Michael Wacha, who was just meh.
Yeah.
So they need another starting pitcher.
They do, but, I mean, I think that you were bringing the point up that they're starting to think like Theo. The Cardinals are always thought that way. They don't shell out a ton right. of money no. or overpay all of these guys. And to get Arrieta, some team is going to have to overpay for past performance. And I don't see it being the Cubs still. I just really don't.
But I think the way that the Cardinals are operating now might – I mean, obviously a lot of it has to do with the fact that the Cubs will win the World Series in 2016. They kind of feel like they're the also-ran in that division now. You know, granted, they're going to keep hanging the 11 rings thing on mm-hmm. you, but at the same time, they have to be thinking in the back of their minds, like, these guys aren't going anywhere. You know, the next 5 to 6 years, at least, you're going to have to get past the Cubs to win the Central. You're not going to get that division title. You're not going to get, you know, a guaranteed 5-game series, you know, unless you get past them. So Maybe that's the way they're operating now, like no holds barred.
So if you can't beat him, become him. Dexter Fowler, Jake Arrieta, yep, just improve yep. all
that's
the
other way. Theo has always said, if I think Nate Poppin is worth $100, and I really want Nate back, and Eric goes, I think Nate's worth $500.
That's right.
He goes,
I got you, buddy.
He goes, you need to be loyal to your process. You stick to what you believe. If you say, okay, I got him at 100, I can get him for 105, okay, whatever. But he goes, when you start extending yourself way beyond because, oh, God, the Cardinals did it, that's when you go, what was I thinking?
And it's a slippery slope because if you yep. do it for Jake, then you have to do it yeah. for Bryce next year or Manny Machado or somebody else. And there will always be somebody willing to outbid making a stupider contract or investment.
And then you wake up and you go, oh, boy, we're stuck with Hayward and we're mm-hmm. stuck with this bad contract, Jake's right. bad contract.
Hey, it goes back to Boston with Carl Crawford and
Adrian Gonzalez.
Adrian Gonzalez.
Right. Spending spree. That's what taught Theo, I think. That was probably Theo's hardest lesson as a GM, mm-hmm. I think. I happened to be in Boston that offseason, and everyone was so pumped when they got those two guys because Crawford was coming off his string of all-star appearances as a Ray, which turned out to be the peak of his career, and it took a very sharp
I never saw that coming, by the way.
No, that was a shock, and I doubt, obviously, Theo didn't see it coming either, but that's the reality of the game. Gonzalez wasn't great with Boston. He wasn't terrible either, but he was not a fit for that.
But Theo will also tell you that ownership, once they got a little success, started saying, I think we should go get that guy. What do you, Theo, make that happen.
Well, that's part of the reason why why he left in the gorilla suit a few years before and ultimately, you know, left town. It just, that meddling nature from the Fenway Sports Group was not working, and that's why I think the partnership with him and Ricketts has worked so well.
I think we all owe a thank you letter to Larry Lucchino, I think.
Oh, sure.
I mean,
God, yeah.
Cub fans.
Or Evan Longoria, right? Brought it up.
Yes.
Evan Longoria walk-off homer that led to the Red Sox not making the playoffs, to Theo leaving. And
can you tell me who hit that home
Dan
run?
Johnson.
Dan Johnson.
Tied the game. Yeah.
Where was Tom Ricketts when that home run was hit?
Oh, that I don't know.
Cubs were playing in San Diego to close out the season. He's at the Omni in San Diego eating a burger at the bar, figuring out what his next move is. He's like, boy, Boston makes the playoffs. I don't know if Theo's going to leave. And he watches the home run, and 2 days later on the phone with John Henry.
Wow.
It was one of the craziest sequences of events, that game 162 day in 2011. Just baseball nirvana, I think, is what you texted me back.
Yeah, like, I think I actually used the word baseball porn.
Or, but, sure.
Yeah. Nirvana. Nirvana's
sorry,
probably
I was trying
a little
to keep
more
PG.
There's nothing wrong with that term.
Yeah.
But if that doesn't happen.
Be careful with Google on that one.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. You know, Theo's not here, and the Cubs probably don't win the World Series.
Yeah.
Not by now, anyway. So.
Well, you know, back to the whole pitching conversation as well, I'm still stunned that Alex Cobb is out there. We talk about Arrieta, and I get it for Darvish. I mean, yeah. Darvish has already made $60-ish million just in America and then his time in Japan as well. So he doesn't need a payday. He's not itching for it the same way Jake is. But I'm surprised that Alex Cobb, his price has gone way higher than expected. I mean, it was like still during the World Series. I
his
think he
price
was
in his mind.
Right, exactly. Right. Yes. His own.
The market.
So Alex told a friend of mine that the Cubs called him and said, hey, man, you want the Chatwood contract? We're all in. That's what they tried to get him to take.
Three years, $38 million.
And it was actually $342 million, but
okay,
it was
okay. Yeah.
Same deal, $14 million a year, 3 years. And he was interested. And then he started his agent saying, well, wait a minute, I think there's a whole lot more money out there. He's not looking. He claims he's not asking for $80 million. He's not. That it's far less than that, but it's more than 3 times 42. And I don't think Theo wants to go more than 3 years with him.
Do you think that deal's still on the table if he comes back to him?
342 in a second.
Interesting.
I just don't think he will.
No.
His value is about that. He's a guy that's, I think his career high in innings is 180, just over 180.
Yeah. Never cracked 200.
Right, and he's never been elite, whereas, like, you know, Jake can say he won the World Series. He was a Cy Young winner. He had this dominant stretch, whereas Cobb is still basically living off the potential.
Okay,
he's
so
30 already.
Let me ask you guys a question then. You know how much money you're going to have to pay going out for all these guys. Are you better off trading one of those guys now when they have more team control, where you're going to be able to get Chris Archer back or whoever that guy is, because you can't pay the other guy anyway?
I mean, Chris Archer, I think Chris Archer is one of those guys out there. He's like the golden goose. I mean, if the Cubs can get him for a realistic package, I don't think the money is even that big of a play, like having to pay guys out down the road. It'd just be a matter of the value. But understandably, the Rays, the value's not there. I mean, they're asking for the world for him.
As they should.
Right, as they should,
yeah,
because he's
should.
Under such a team-friendly control, just like the Marlins would be asking for the world for Christian Yelich, because the dude's getting paid, you know, way under what he should be for 4 years of control. So I'm with you on that, Cap, but I don't think – I mean, paying a guy for even in their final year of arbitration is still not what these guys would get in free agency. So, I mean, if you're talking even guys like Russell and Javi, not even like the Chris Bryants of the world, these guys, I mean, you gotta have somebody play second base or somebody play shortstop. And Ian Happ is going to be cheap for another couple of years. Wilson Contreras the same way. Hendricks is getting up there a little bit now. But I don't know. Trading these guys for pitching right now, it's all about value rather than
Hey, what if I told you
money.
You could trade to get Chris Archer and Alex Colome or Kyle Bearclaw and Christian Yelich?
I mean, Yelich I still think is the perfect fit here.
Yeah.
For this lineup, playing center field maybe 40% of the time or more, but atop that order, Yelich would be absolutely
perfect.
Okay,
so you send Albert Almora back to where he grew up in the Miami area.
Russell, maybe.
You put an Addison Russell in that deal, and they need pitching. You put a Mike Montgomery in that deal.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you get Yelich and Bearclaw. There's your closer. There's your center fielder. And now you go make a deal with whoever for your starter.
Yeah, I mean, go out. There are some buy low candidates out there. Bartolo Colon's still a free agent.
No shot. Thank you.
Let's do it.
John Lackey as well.
Let's do it.
What do you think of that?
No. Dear God, no.
He served his purpose for Cap. He's done. Yeah.
Just for the entertainment value, I think I'd like him.
Yeah. Lackey or Colon?
Oh, my God.
No, Colon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lackey would be pretty good entertainment value as well. All right, we're going to take a quick break here in the Cubs Talk podcast. When we get back, we'll talk a little bit about Chris Bryant's birthday.
How about that?
Hi, guys. I'm Tara Lipinski.
And I'm Johnny Weir.
Guess what, Johnny?
What?
The Winter Olympics are right around the corner. And what does that mean?
Yay. That means we get to see Shaun White, Michaela Schifrin, and other top Team USA athletes conquer fresh snow and ice this February on NBC.
So make sure you're ready. Sign up for NBC Sports and Olympics emails by texting POD to 66866. Or you can visit nbcolympics.com/newsletters to receive the latest athlete updates, giveaways, and more.
Message and data rates may apply. Winter is here.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the Cubs Talk podcast. On Thursday here, Bruce Levine hopped on the radio, 670 The Score in Chicago, and said that he heard that the Cubs are talking about switching Javi and Addison Russell next year. Now, that's something that they've kind of bounced around before. Theo Epstein actually spoke about it in his postseason,
wrap-up.
State of the Cubs, all of those things. Theo actually mentioned it because one of the writers brought it up. What do you guys think about that? Javi going to short, Addison going to second. Now, they may not make that move at all, but Scotty, we'll start with you. You like that move?
I don't know. I miss the tags, man.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, because Addison will be in charge of all that tag magic now. And Javi's arm would play a lot better at short.
Yeah, I think, you know, Addison had that bad foot last year, and I put a lot of his throwing problems on not being able to plant. I did an event with Joe Madden, and I get seated for dinner. It's two-person tables. Me and Addison Russell, I'm like, dude, what's with the throwing? He's like, my foot, I can't plant. So you wonder, does he have a bulky shoulder? Is it an elbow? Or is it all related to his foot? We'll see.
I think the shoulder is definitely a factor because it was in the 2016 playoffs. It was something that people talked about kind of behind the scenes, Addison's shoulder throughout the whole time. But he had throwing issues well before the foot came into play in 2017. So I think the shoulder was a factor at the very least. And then the foot came into play. I mean, I've had plantar fasciitis. I know Scott had it as well.
It's brutal.
Never had it.
It is, yeah.
Oh, it's horrible.
I mean, I've never tried to be a shortstop.
It's like cutting into your
foot. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I can totally imagine how it could affect his throw. But, I mean, I do think the shoulder was an issue as well. But Addison is just, I mean, he's so smooth out there at short that all the flashy plays that Javi makes, he still wouldn't come close to Addison in terms of just gloving the ball, at least in my opinion.
I always feel like there's a ground ball hit at Addison, he's making the play.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
With Javi, I'm like, well, he'll make that diving stop or that sick play.
It's the routine ones.
The routine one, he finds boots. But maybe he's maturing.
Maybe. I mean, we've seen signs of it at the plate as well. But, Eric, Nate, what are you guys thinking in terms of Javi, Addison?
I think we've already kind of touched on it. Javi's going to make those highlight reel, I cannot believe he just made that play, plays. But it's the routine ones. excuse me. Russell's going to be, you're just steady as she goes out there, but he may not get to a couple of the balls that Javi may get to. It brings to mind to me, when Russell came up, they started him at second and then flipped him in Starlin. And that worked out like gangbusters, at least initially.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how much you'd be messing with the chemistry right now. I think it would be maybe an interesting spring training experiment, but I don't know how far down that road they're actually going to go.
Yeah, I mean, the old adage is always your best defender, your best athlete goes to short. And I think, you know, from the flashy style and all-encompassing as a defender, I've never seen anyone like Javi Baez.
Agreed.
And I think he fits anywhere. He could play third. Mm-hmm. He could play short. He could play second.
He could play center. He was working out there for a while.
He's like the emergency catcher.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Although Kyle Schwarber, I guess, is the emergency catcher.
Okay.
Javi's the emergency catcher.
He break glass in case of emergency catcher.
Yeah, but, I mean, Russell, since the start of the 2013 season, Russell is actually second in baseball among shortstops on defensive runs saved. And obviously he didn't even play in 13 or 14.
Right.
So only Andrelton Simmons is better. I know defensive metrics aren't everything, but defensive runs saved is a pretty good catch-all for that. And when you got Andrelton Simmons and then number two is Addison Russell, That says quite
it's a
bit,
company.
Considering
yeah.
how many games that he, I mean, he played almost the whole season in 2015 at second, too.
Yes. Right.
So he saved 44 runs in just over 2.5 years, or
pretty
just
crazy.
Under 2.5 years, I should say, at shortstop. So, yeah, I definitely think that that Addison should stay. And I think Joe Maddon, he's really all about Addison at shortstop as well. He's talked about how boring he is and unsexy he is. He just makes the play, like Cap, you were saying, every time a ground ball is hit to him. And Javi makes the sexy plays, and he has that 98-mile-an-hour cannon from the hole at short. But, just give me Addison at short any day and then move Javi around, like you were saying, to second, third, or wherever else.
Unless there's something to the throwing shoulder on Addison, then all bets are off.
Well, then you also factor in the fact that Javi always talks about, I'm an everyday player, I'm an everyday player. He wants to be out there every day. He doesn't like, ever missing any games, whether it's at short or second or wherever he is. So I don't know how much that factors into it.
If they made that move and put Addison back at second, do you guys think that's almost a precursor to like essentially having to trade Addison at some point? Because what would that do to his confidence, to his psyche, that he got the shortstop job over Starlin Castro and then kind of got bumped away from it over a couple of years where he did everything defensively that he could have?
He may buy in. He may go, you know what, I'm more comfortable there. My arm will be better.
Mm-hmm. If it's an injury thing, I mean, he would have to be all
over. Okay, where's Ben Zobrist playing for 2 more years at $14 million a year?
I mean, he might only be playing, twice a week? Even this year, if they don't trade anybody, can't really play him much more than that. And if his wrist, I'm sure his wrist should be healthy, but if that becomes a recurring problem again in 2018 and he can't face lefties, then I'm not sure what you do with Ben Zobrist because you need him that switch hitting ability, but mostly against lefties, I think, because of Schwarber, because of Hayward, because you want to be able to throw him in one of the corner outfield spots when you're facing a Kershaw or somebody else, a left-handed starter. So I think it's mostly a matter of health with Zobrist in terms of how much he plays this year.
Yeah, I always thought that if they traded Schwarber, they could put Bryant in left because, Theo Jett and Jason McLeod have said to me multiple times, long-term we see Bryant in the outfield. But here we are now, 15, 16, 17, going into his fourth year, he hasn't moved to the outfield. But if you traded Schwarber in a deal, maybe you put Bryant in left, you put Baez at third.
Right.
Solves a lot of logjam problems.
Right.
So you want them to trade Schwarber?
I do not right now because he's in such great shape. I'd like to see. Last year he was still rehabbing a knee.
Right.
In the offseason. I want to see what he does now, a full year and a half, 2 years out of the injury and getting himself in great shape. It's just the Hayward contract is such an albatross.
Yeah, it's huge. I think the thing that a lot of people don't really talk about with Schwarber either is, since he injured himself with the knee so early in that season, he lost so much development time where, you could argue that maybe he was going to get 400 at-bats that year, maybe 450. He wasn't going to get like six or anything. He wasn't going to be an everyday player. But, yeah, I think I'd like to see what the deal is with him with losing the weight and being in better shape.
And he's a much better outfielder than people give him credit for. I know a lot of people who have watched him saw that 2015 NLCS series.
It's the high-profile mistakes that cost him that
reputation. But, I mean, he's really thrown the ball well the last month and a half or so of the regular season and then into the playoffs. Forget who he threw out in the postseason. Was it the Dodgers series that he threw somebody out at the plate?
I can't remember. It was.
But, I mean, he made some really, really dynamic throws out there. He drops 25, maybe even more pounds than that by the time spring training starts, and he should be able to get to more balls. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, Cap. I absolutely want to see what Schwarber will be able to do.
Yeah, for me to trade him, it would have to be a monster deal.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of Chris Bryant, though, you talked about him before. So we're recording this on his 26th birthday. So of the players in baseball right now, there's a lot of good young talent. Guys that are 27 or under at opening day. I think Nolan Arenado turns 27 like just after opening day. Where do you guys think Bryant ranks among all those young stars in the game right now?
Well, for me, as I look at this list that the great Chris Kamka put together, there's some great players on that list. I mean, it really is. Names like Arenado, Mike Trout, Christian Yelich, Aaron Judge. Some great Machado. For me, Bryce Harper's on the list, absolutely. I would probably tell you that for me, number one on the list would be Mike Trout.
Oh, yeah.
Hands down.
100% agree.
Yeah.
He's the number one on every list, I think, in baseball.
Pretty much.
He'd be the number one pitcher, too.
But after that, I would probably tell you, based on stats, based on WAR, based on the kind of kid that he is, I could see Brian as high as 2.
Over Harper.
Over Harper. You know, look, Harper's a really good player. I want you to pull up his numbers and look at what his numbers are. He's got 1 year where he's hit more than 30 home runs. He had a monster year, 1 year. He's a great player, a great talent. But holy God, look at the numbers and go, really?
He's also played over 147 games twice.
Right.
Yeah, he keeps
durability,
getting hurt.
Durability is an issue with
right.
him.
Chris shows up and plays, man.
At least 150 every year. Yeah.
I had him at 2 as well, personally.
Brian, and yes, so Harper's Brian. 3 for you guys then? You'd be the third best player under 27?
Yeah, I mean, if, obviously, if Aaron Judge hits
again.
52
yeah.
home
yeah.
runs
yeah,
again.
Exactly.
Tough to turn that.
If you factor in defense too, though, I it's hard for me to leave Francisco Lindor out of that top 3.
So. I agree. Pretty high up. I mean, yeah. I love Correa.
How about Corey
too.
Seager?
Seager yeah. as well. I mean, the shortstops, and if Machado goes back there, you got yeah. 4 really, really talented young shortstops. But for the next 10 years, Cap, going back to that Harper and Bryant debate, next 10 years, who would you rather have, Bryant or Harper?
For the next 10 years,
starting in 2018,
I'd take Chris Bryant.
Scotty? Bryant or Harper, next 10 years?
Bryant.
Nate?
I'm going to go Bryant.
Strobel?
I brought up durability. I think that's going to be an issue continuing forward for Harper. Got to go Bryant.
He has changed his style of play, though.
He has.
I actually would go Harper as well. I think that Bryant's game might eventually change, and I'd be curious to see how he changes with it. But that'll do it for our Cubs Talk podcast this week. Again, we are sponsored by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking. Head to wintrust.com/Cubs for more info, and we'll see you next week. Thanks, guys.